So, well, Julia, you're the writer of 35 books, as well as short stories, essays, novels, plays, musicals, and screenplays. You're probably most well known for your best-selling book, The Artist's Way. So tell me, Julia, what exactly is the book about and who is it for?
Well, The Artist's Way is a book actually for everyone. When I wrote it, I thought I was writing it for about 10 people. And, of course, now we have 4 million people using the book. And it was written, I was thinking that it was a support kit for active artists. And what we discovered was that it was a support kit for anyone who wanted a more creative life. So you don't have to be a practicing artist to do the book. You just have to have a hunger for creativity.
What do you think stops people from being creative and reaching their full potential, Julia?
Well, I think that many people are discouraged, and we have sort of got a cliched version of what an artist is, and we have a mythology around artists that says that artists are broke, artists are crazy, artists are lazy, many negative things. So people are afraid to try their creativity for fear they're going to be struck neurotic.
I know you mentioned in your book, Julia, as well, about morning pages. Like, what are they and how do they work?
Okay. Morning pages are the basic tool of a creative recovery. What they are is 3 pages of longhand morning writing that you do first thing when you wake up. So you write, I'm awake, I'm tired, I didn't sleep well, I forgot to call my sister back, I need to fix that funny knock in the car. They are about anything and everything. There's sort of stream of consciousness. It's as if you've taken a little teeny broom to the corners of your consciousness and swept the rubble into the center of the room. And they don't look like they have anything to do with creativity, but I find that when you do them, you have a creative awakening. I think of it as sort of sending a note to the universe saying, this is where I am, this is what I want. I think of them as being a good form of meditation for hyperactive Westerners. We have a hard time sitting still doing nothing for 20 minutes, so I say sit still and write for 20 minutes. I think of them as being a secular form of prayer, and that when you do them, you begin to make contact with a benevolent creative force. And so they work, of course, if you're an agnostic and you think there's nothing out there to help you. And then you start doing morning pages and you begin to experience synchronicity where you find yourself increasingly in the right place at the right time. And eventually it occurs to you, oh, there is a creative power helping me.
Like you mentioned about a benevolent force, is that like a higher power or is it God or what is that?
Well, I think of it as a higher power. I think of it as a creative force. For me, it's a line from the poet Dylan Thomas who says, the force that through the green fuse drives the flower. So I think of it as being that creative energy. But it doesn't matter if you think of it as the muse, as Yoda, as Obi-Wan Kenobi, as the Force, as the universe, as God. It doesn't matter quite how you conceptualize it. It's just a matter of making contact.
Where did you get the idea for the morning pages, Julia?
Well, I was living in a little teeny mountain town And I was there in desperation because I had had three movies in a row go into what we call turnaround, where the scripts get bought, but then they don't get made. And I was desperately sad about my career. And I moved to this tiny little mountain town, Taos, New Mexico. And I started getting up in the morning and writing three pages just to give me something to do. And I found that after I had been writing them for a little while, I had a character for a novel come strolling into my consciousness, and I realized, oh my God, these morning pages have unblocked me and have guided me into a new path. So it was just inspiration, really, that had me writing the three pages. But I later learned that there was a woman named Natalie Goldberg who wrote a book called Writing Down the Bones. And she lived in Taos, and she advocated the same kind of free-form writing. So I think it might have been something in the water.
When we have three morning pages wrote, Julia, like, what are we supposed to do with them then? Like, do we read over them, or what, or just let them go? Or?
Well, I think, you know, I usually say, don't read them for the first 3 months. Just do them. The reason I say this is that morning pages are what I would call a tough love friend. They bring up issues if you're not facing them. So you don't need to worry that you'll lose something if you don't read them, because they will bring it up over and over again until you take an action. So I myself kept my morning pages thinking that I would someday write a memoir and use them. And what happened is that I wrote a memoir and I didn't peek at the morning pages even once. So I don't think of them as something that you need to reread, although I've been told that it's very helpful if you do.
In terms of expressing our creativity, Julia, like, how important is our environment?
Well, I think this is where the morning pages come in. Because many of us live in environments that are not conducive to creativity. And morning pages are sort of a private practice. Virginia Woolf said that artists needed a room of their own. And I think that morning pages perform a portable room of your own. And so they allow you to work creatively and think creatively, despite your environment.
And I know you mentioned also, Julia, in regard to writing and creativity, that they can be very powerful tools for healing.
Well, one of the things we discovered when we started doing morning pages was that a lot of what we think of as neurosis was actually just bottled up creativity. And so when you began to do morning pages and also to take what we call artist dates, which are a once-a-week festive solo expedition to do something that's interesting to you, so with morning pages, you're sending to the universe. With the artist dates, you're receiving from the universe. And you're building a sort of spiritual radio kit. And as you do this, you start to become more spontaneous. You start to become better with your personal boundaries. And you begin to experience a creative healing. And many therapists started using the morning pages and began running creativity groups that were based in the artist's way, because they found out that it worked. It was like a lot of times before that, artists would go into therapy and they would be encouraged to talk about their blocks. And with Morning Pages, you're encouraged to do something about your blocks, not to discuss them.
Do you continue to do the Morning Pages every day? And if so, why?
I do Morning Pages, and I do them because they work. When I first wrote The Artist's Way, I was married, and my husband did Morning Pages, and now we're divorced, and I spoke with him recently, and I said to him, do you still do Morning Pages? And he said, yes, I do them whenever I get in trouble. And I said to him, well, if you did them, you probably wouldn't get in trouble.
I don't like this.
So this is probably why we're divorced.
Yeah. Julia, like, how important is expressing our creativity for our health and well-being?
I think of expressing our creativity as being vital to our health and well-being. I find that when people are involved with the creativity tools, with Morning Pages and Artist States and walks, they begin to flourish. A lot of times, Artist States give them a sense of a benevolent universe, and they begin to feel a sense of safety, which makes it possible for them to take risks and to flourish. I find that Morning Pages are what I would call a tough love friend. I recently had a woman say to me, Julia, I was happy drunk in the outback in Australia, and then I started doing Morning Pages, and now I'm a Hollywood screenwriter. What happened was she did her Morning Pages, and the pages said, you were drunk last night. And she said, thank you for sharing. And then she did Morning Pages again, and they said, you were drunk again last night. Then she did them again, and they said, maybe you should try doing something about your drinking. I find that Morning Pages will nudge you in the direction of health. So I've had people get sober from doing Morning Pages like this woman did. I've had people do Morning Pages and realize that they needed to lose weight and change their eating patterns. I've had people realize that they're enmeshed in a codependent relationship that they need to move out from. That Morning Pages point you toward health.
You also recommend weekly artist dates. What are these, Julia?
Well, an artist date is two parts, artist and date. So what you're looking to do is sort of woo yourself, romance yourself a little bit. You find something that is enchanting to you, and you do it. So it's important to think sort of more of mystery maybe than of mastery. You may go do something very simple like visit a floral shop and explore how wonderful it feels to be around the green life of those plants. Or when I lived in New York, I had a favorite artist date, which was going to the Museum of Natural History and viewing the dioramas, which were animals in their natural habitat. They were just magical to me. And I would go once a week, and I had another expedition, which was really a wonderful artist date, which was I went to a butterfly collection. So you pick something that's just enchanting to you, something that you're interested by. You may want to go to a children's bookstore and get a small book on an area of interest. I had a small book on Magellan, and I found myself writing music about Magellan. And I think that the artist's date tends to sort of wake you up and make you feel that your thoughts are important.
Well, how do they tie in with, say, a person wanting to be more creative?
Well, I think that they look as if they have nothing to do with it. I think all of my tools are sort of zen. You know, you look at morning pages and you think, I don't see what doing this writing has to do with creativity. You look at artist dates and you say, this doesn't have any linear relationship to creativity, so I don't see why I'm doing it. But what you're doing with artist dates is something that I call filling the well. If you think of yourself as an ecosystem, when you act creatively, you're drawing on the images of an inner well. And sometimes people will say, Julia, I was doing so brilliantly, and then I sort of puttered out. And I will say, well, you have overfished your well. So you need to consciously put images into the well, although they don't need to be images directly connected to any particular creative project. They're just images that you find are interesting to you.
Julia, why do people have resistance to doing them?
Oh, I think people resist doing artist dates much the way the child of a divorce wants to have the full attention of a parent. The part of us that creates, I think of as being sort of an inner youngster, and we are afraid to hear what the inner youngster has to say. So we have resistance, and when you face down your resistance, you find yourself being creatively nourished, and I think that the inner artist actually has a lot of wisdom about what it is we need to do.
Have you had any fun and interesting ones in your own life?
As I said before, I had the wonderful experience of going to the Natural History Museum and seeing all of the animals. But I also had an artist date where I went to a travel store, a store entirely full of books and maps. And it was called The Complete Traveler in New York. And I went there, and I found an old book on Magellan. And I took it on book tour with me. And I was in Los Angeles near the ocean, and I started reading Magellan's biography. And I got inspired to write music. And I wrote really an entire opera of music around Magellan, and that all started with my innocently picking up a book at my artist date.
And tell me about intuition, Julia. How does this relate to creativity, and is it important?
Well, I think of intuition as being sort of the key that turns the lock. What happens when you write morning pages is that you begin to trust your intuition. You begin to trust your hunches. You begin to trust the impulse to go somewhere, do something, say something. And I think intuition is vital. And I think that my tools are all aimed at heightening their intuition. When I wrote The Artist's Way, I thought there were two tools. I thought morning pages and artist dates. And at the very end of The Artist's Way in week 12, I said, P.S. exercise. So now I've been teaching another 20 years, and I recognize that walking is a third valid creativity tool, and that as you walk out, maybe with a problem, what happens when you walk is that you begin to get heightened intuition, and that heightened intuition helps you walk back in with a solution.
Having discipline and perseverance when you're trying to express your creativity are vital, especially when things aren't going well. Like, how can we develop this and keep going when times are hard?
Well, all right, again, I think I sound a little bit like a fanatic because I keep saying morning pages are the solution, but morning pages are the solution. To do them come hell or high water, to do them when you feel good and do them when you feel bad. There's no wrong way to do morning pages. When you do them, they miniaturize your sensor. So what I mean by that is that you start writing morning pages and this little negative voice you're used to thinking of as being reality, this little negative voice says, "Oh, Michael, you're so negative." And you say to that voice, "Thank you for sharing." And you keep right on writing. And what you're doing when you keep right on writing despite the voice is that you're beginning to miniaturize the importance of that voice, so that you learn to step past it into creativity. So I find during a creative drought, when you feel you have no ideas, it's very important to keep on with the pages, and that if you do, your perseverance is rewarded.
And in the age of social media, and I suppose many other distractions as well, like, we can divert ourselves from expressing our creativity. Like, is there something or anything we could do about this?
Well, again, I want to say morning pages are done longhand rather than on the computer. If you do them on the computer, you get speed and distance, but you don't get depth. If you write longhand, studies have shown that writing longhand opens up many more neural pathways and brings in an influx of new ideas. And so getting up in the morning and sort of spilling yourself onto the page is a way that keeps you from becoming addicted to computer time. They make you more spontaneous, so that if you do end up using Facebook or Twitter, you are more spontaneous in your messages, and you connect more directly to people.
Julia, like, as you know, self-confidence is an important factor in every artist's life, especially in the area of being able to promote their work. Like, what would you advise for someone to do to develop this?
Okay, here we go again. I would advise them to do morning pages. And in the pages, they will get ideas about how to promote their work. The pages function, Michael, as a sort of friendship. The pages become a place where you go for encouragement. And when you have the pages in place as a source of solace, it becomes much easier to take risks.
Have you any examples of, say, success stories of people who have changed their life with the Artist's Way and what happened?
I find that sometimes when I go out, I'm recognized from my book photos, and people come up to me and they say, I want to tell you one thing, Julia, and that is your book changed my life. And it's always the same sentence, your book changed my life. People have used the book. There's a book on the bestseller list of the New York Times right now, where she credits The Artist's Way with giving her the inspiration to write the book. I was very happy when I was contacted by Pete Townsend of The Who. He wrote a book called Who Am I, which is his autobiography. And in it, he says that he used The Artist's Way, and then he bought it for all of his friends.
Wow.
So I sort of picture, oh, my goodness, I wonder if Eric Clapton does The Artist's Way. But The Artist's Way, I will hear celebrity stories, that's not really the point of the book. The point of the book is for everyone. I will have people come up to me and say, I used your book, and here is the CD that I made. Or I used your book, and now I'm a full-time painter, whereas before I thought of it as just a hobby.
A lot of artists can struggle between choosing money or creativity, and at times they can sacrifice one for the other. Is it possible to have both, Julia, and if so, how?
Well, I think that we have a mythology that says artists are broke. But the truth is that when we start to function in our creativity, we often experience an increased flow. I wrote a book with Emma Lively called Prosperity Every Day, and in it I explore the idea that that solvency is really a spiritual issue, not a fiscal bottom line. And so as you begin to function in your creativity, you begin to have an increased feeling of generosity. And as you are able to act more generously, you're able to be remunerated more generously.
Julia, like in regard to the tools in the Artist's Way, like, are there any other areas of our lives which we could use those tools for?
Well, I don't think that the tools apply strictly to what we think of as creative venues. I've had wives come up to me and say, oh, thank you so much for writing that book. It made my husband so much happier. So many times I feel that the tools work to straighten out tangled up interpersonal relationships, where we use the tools and we become more autonomous more filled with ease and comfort. And as we become more comfortable with ourselves and more trusting in the universe, we stop making intense demands on the people that we're involved with, and we begin to become happier in our own right.
They say there's a book in every one of us, and you have 35 of them wrote to date. How come some people end up publishing books and other people don't even start writing?
Well, I think that a lot of people are afraid to try. They're afraid to begin writing a book because they don't know what's going to happen to it when they're finished. And they say to themselves, I don't want to do all that work for nothing. And what I say to them is that writing the book is an adventure, that, of course, if we write the book, it has a much greater chance of being published
yeah.
than if we're just stymied. I tell people that if they have a dream that keeps tugging at them, they need to pursue that dream.
Say for yourself, Julia, like, what has been your own biggest struggle in regards to your own creativity?
The thing that's been the most difficult for me is working on music. I've written musicals for 10 years, and they've gotten produced and done on a small scale, but never on the big scale that I dreamed of for them. So I find myself looking around for ways to put my music into the world. And right now, my creative colleague, Emma Lively, is making a musical CD of sort of Julia's greatest hits. So even though the musicals aren't being done, the music is getting into the world. But that was the hardest thing for me, was hearing the music in my head and not being able to implement it.
Julia, like, would you have any tips or suggestions for our listeners on how they can become more creative in their lives?
Well, here we go again. Back to those three tools. If you'll do morning pages, if you'll take an artist date, if you'll get out for a walk, you'll start to wake up. If you use the tools regularly, you'll experience basically a spiritual awakening that tells you that the world is a benevolent place and you have a spot in it.
If you don't mind me asking, like, what did you write in your own morning pages this morning?
Oh, this morning I wrote, "Oh my God, I'm up and awake." And I'm worried there'll be long gaps in my thoughts, so I better have a cup of coffee. And so I drank some coffee and wrote, "Gee, I hope that I'm able to be useful."
Thanks a million, Julia. Look, I really enjoyed chatting, and I know I've learned a lot, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will as well. And like, if any of our listeners want to find out more about your work or even get a copy of your book, how could they do it, Julia?
Well, the book is available almost anywhere, but you can get it through Amazon.com. And I have a website which people are welcome to go to, which tells them a great deal more about my work. And that's JuliaCameronLive.com.
Thanks so much for chatting with us today, and look, I wish you the very best luck with everything.
Thank you.